We shall turn again to the part of God's word that we read together in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119 and verse 136. Psalm 119, verse 136. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Psalm 119 is well known for the love that the psalmist has to God's law. The psalmist loves God's statutes. He loves God's testimonies. He loves God's word. He loves the law of God. And since the law of God is utterly opposed to sin, you think it's possible for the psalmist to willingly live a life of sin? If the law of God condemns sin, is it possible for anyone to truly love the law of God and not hate sin? No, those who love God's law will agree with the law of God in condemning sin. And if we are true believers, we will hate our own sin and we will hate the sin of others. We will grieve in a measure over our own and others' sins. And that is what the psalmist says, that he is grieved when people break God's commandments. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Can this be said of us? Can it be said that we grieve over sin, grieving over the sin of others, grieving that people continually break the law of God? We're not to think that there was literally a torrent of tears constantly flowing down his cheeks every moment of his life, but it is expressing the strong feeling of grief that he had when he thought about people breaking God's law, trampling underfoot the law of God, and doing dishonor to him. Do we know anything of this grief when people dishonor God by ignoring his law? Well, may the Lord give us this grief in a measure that we would know something of the experience of the psalmist. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. And for a short while, we will consider, first of all, with the Lord's help, the love to God's law. The love to God's law. In the second place, the dishonor to God and his law when people keep not thy law. The dishonor done to God and his law. And in the third place, the grief over this dishonor done to God by not keeping his law. The love to God's law, the dishonor done to God, and the grief over this dishonor done to God and his law. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. The psalmist loved God, and he loved what God loved. God loves his own law, because the law is a transcript of the divine being. The law reveals who God is. The law is just revealing God himself, that as God is holy and just and good, so Paul says the commandment to the law of God is holy and just and good, just as he, that is God, is holy and just and good. The law is asserting God's authority. The law is expressing God's holiness. It's revealing his universal righteousness. And the law, being good, is revealing the goodness of God, because it only requires what is good for man, and it only forbids what is harmful and detrimental to man. Well, do we know anything of the psalmist's love to the law of God, his love to God's word and testimonies and statutes and precepts and law? Remember, Paul said, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man," even though at the same time he saw in himself a law of sin, that is, a principle of sin abiding in him. He was one who had the Spirit dwelling in him, as well as the old man still in him. Paul delighted in the law of God after the inward man. He had an inward love to the law of God. He delighted in the commandments, just as the psalmist did. Do we have this love for the law of God? It's another way of asking, do we love holiness? It's another way of saying, do we hate sin? And if we love Jesus, well, then we will love his law. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You might ask, but how can I know for sure that I love the law of God? You see, we may doubt that. We may doubt the positive love to the law of God. Well, we should test ourselves, and we can test ourselves by whether we have a corresponding grief over our failings to keep the law. When we get a view of our shortcomings, when we see our disobedience, what is our reaction to that? Is there only indifference? Is there just disappointment? Is there just the fear of hell? I've broken God's law, and now I'm going to suffer forever for my sin. I'm in dread of hellfire. Is that the only response to our breaking God's commandments? Or is there any grief in our hearts? If we could separate for a moment any thought of eternal punishment and just think about breaking God's law and offending God, is there any grief in our hearts for that? Well, we cannot possibly grieve over the sins of others and others breaking God's commandments if we have no grief over our own breaking of God's law. When we think about breaking God's commandments, do our hearts ever break at the sight and the reality of that? Are our hearts broken when we consider the commandments of God being broken? Well, when we get a view of the dishonor done to God by breaking his law, surely we will have some grief of heart for our own sin. Our hearts will be broken when we get a view of the dishonor done to God by our sin. And that leads us to the second point, which is the dishonor done to God and his law. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. They keep not thy law. To keep the law is to diligently obey it. The word keep, if I'm correct in recalling the Hebrew, has the idea of observing, keeping, guarding. We are, as it were, guarding the law of God, not letting anyone, as it were, take it from us, not allowing ourselves to lose sight of it. We're keeping the law of God near our hearts. We're keeping it, diligently obeying it. We're observing the law as we observe our own lives and actions. And so we are to keep the law, that is to diligently obey the law of God. Well, here are people who are not keeping God's law. And the psalmist is affected by that fact, that others are not keeping thy law. But we need to remember that we can only be affected by others breaking God's law when we are affected by our own breaking of God's law. And we need to see how we have not kept God's law in the first place. And that is, of course, stated in the motion of the synod that appointed a day of humiliation and prayer, that we are only rightly exercised by others breaking God's commands when we see our sin ourselves, our own breaking of God's commandments. And so the synod motion says, and we did quote that on Sabbath morning, for any one of us to cry in spiritual prayer, in true spiritual prayer to God for the mercy that our poor sin-stained church and state urgently need, we must have some awareness of our own sin and the efficacy of the blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sin. Then we may all the more earnestly cry in prayer to God for church and state, pleading that God would grant a spirit of repentance and a sense of our abiding need of the mercy of God in Christ, and thereafter endeavor to serve the Almighty God in the spirit of new obedience. Well, we need to be affected by our own sin, and that will be done, that will be experienced, when we get a view of our sin dishonoring God. Our breaking God's commandments is dishonoring God. And notice how the psalmist is not affected by others offending him. He's not concerned at this moment by personal injuries. No, he says, rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. He's concerned about people breaking God's law. This is the law of God. This is the law that God has given us. And sin is the transgression of God's law. That's what sin is by definition, the transgression of God's law. And therefore, sin is doing dishonor to God because it's his law. Now, sin is disobeying God whose law it is. It's not the law of mere man. Many people would be shocked to be told they are lawbreakers because they're very careful to keep the laws of the land, but they have little or no thought of keeping the laws of the Most High. And they're content to think that they are law-abiding citizens if they never do anything illegal. They're law-abiding citizens, but are they law-abiding while they are continually breaking the law of God, indifferent to God's law? Well, sin is against God's law. Sin is against God's law, which is a transcript of the divine being. We're sinning against the law that reveals God himself. As if you were taking a painting of somebody, and you say, well, I love this person, but meanwhile, you're throwing mud at the person's photo. We can't say we love God while we're continually breaking his law that reveals who God is. So no wonder sin is an affront to God when it's transgressing his law that reveals God. This is what sin is, and this is what will make our hearts break if we are getting a view of it. That sin is striking at the very being of God. Sin is denying God's authority. Sin is aiming to take God off the throne. When we get a sight of this, if we have any love to God at all, then surely this sight of our sin will make us grieve. When the Spirit is given to us, when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us, then we'll get a sight of Christ. But a true sight of Christ is viewing him as the sin bearer. It's viewing him as suffering for sin, which is the transgression of God's law. That's what makes the crucifixion so bitter. Because if we get a sight of Christ crucified, what we're seeing at the cross is the fruit of sin. We're seeing sin crucifying Jesus. We're seeing Jesus, the sin bearer, Jesus bearing sin that we have done, sin against the law of God, sin that pierced the Son of God and drew down the wrath of heaven upon him, the one who is so lovely, and yet, as such is the enmity of man, that they crucify the one who gave the clearest view of God. As Charles Hodge said, Christ, the incarnate Logos, God in our nature, God clothed with our flesh, is the clearest manifestation of God to his creatures. And yet what did the Jews do? They took him and crucified him. And that's just revealing our own sinful hearts. The enmity of man. When we get a view of our disobedience to God, our sin against God, our transgression of his law, and see sin as attacking God, our hearts will grieve. Surely our hearts will break if we get a view of what is behind all the breaking of God's commandments. Breaking his commandments comes from the sin of our hearts, which is against God, against thee. Thee only have I sinned. Yes, I've broken God's law. I've hurt and harmed and injured my neighbor. But really, all my sin is against God himself, an affront to the very being of God. If we love God, then we will feel that. If we love God, we will say, my sin is against God. I'm denying the authority of the one I love. I am attacking the one whom I love. And that should break our hearts. And that will lead to weeping, not only over our own sins, but the sins of others, because the same sin that we have committed is against the law of God is what is happening with the sins of others. It's dishonoring God. If we are grieving over our sin because it offends God, we will grieve over any offense that is given to God, the offense that is given to God by others. We will grieve over their disobedience because it's dishonoring to God whom we love. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. It's thy law they are breaking. And it's thy law that is broken, which dishonors God and which grieves me. Well, in the third place, let us consider the grief over the dishonor done to God. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Well, the psalmist is referring to his eyes. His eyes are very useful. His eyes are shedding tears, but his eyes are also witnessing the fact that people everywhere are breaking God's law. As Jeremiah says, in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51, my eye affecteth my heart. What he sees with his eyes is affecting his heart and causing him grief of heart. He saw all this with his eyes, but it affected him indeed. He felt what he witnessed, and he felt it deep in his heart, but then in turn, his heart affected his eyes. And so his eyes are weeping tears because of his grief of heart. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. This affected him personally. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes. Mine eyes are weeping tears. It's God's law, but it affects me because I love God and I'm identified with God. I'm one of his people. I'm in covenant relationship with God. And so what offends him offends me. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes. Yes, his very soul is affected, and that's why his body is affected. We are persons who have bodies and souls, and as we said, the one affects the other. And so his eyes affected his heart, and his heart affected his eyes, and rivers of waters run down his eyes because they keep not thy law. Rivers. He has profuse tears because this matter really weighed upon him. Now, this was not a fleeting, momentary experience. It was continuous. Rivers of waters flow down, run down mine eyes. It's spontaneous. He could not help it. These tears flowed freely. He didn't have to force it. These tears didn't have to be wrung out of him. They flowed freely like a flowing river. Nothing has to push the water through the river to get it going. The waters of the rivers flow freely. So here are tears flowing freely. Now, how can this be? It can only be because this is a man who walked close to God. He had fellowship with God. Yes, he loved God. That's what we've been saying. And his love to God resulted in tears when his God was offended. And so, friends, we should be near to God. That's the only way we can know something of the spontaneous tears that the psalmist had when we are walking close to God and we have continual fellowship with him in Christ. To cherish this love to God and his commandments, to be offended when people deliberately break the commandments of God. His love was strong, and that's why his tears could flow. And the only way to have that is by abiding in Christ. The only way to have this experience, this closeness to God that leads to free-flowing tears when people break God's law is to abide in Christ, who is the Son of God. It's by looking to Jesus. It's by beholding him, following his example, meditating upon Christ. Yes, we can meditate upon the experience of the psalmist, but much more to meditate upon Christ himself and his experiences, his grace, his love to souls, his love and zeal for God. Behold him and be like him. And we're to think about the sins of the land, the dishonor done to God throughout the nation and society. And yes, the tears will flow spontaneously if we're walking close to God, and yet we need to use the means. We do have to take time to actually have a sight of what's going on around us. And some are more responsible for that than others. Ministers have to know what is going on in society. They need to know what they should be praying about, what they should grieve over. But surely it doesn't take long to witness the sin that is all around us. You take a walk in the neighborhood. You go to work every day. You listen to the news. You know there's sin all around us. We're hearing about a euthanasia being legalized in the UK. We know that that's already been passed in our own land. The killing of the elderly, they call it mercy. It's not mercy. It's violating the sanctity of human life. It's an affront to the image of God and God himself. The laws that have passed and legalized same-sex marriage and abortion and many other sins, gambling, people are so used to that, it's stealing from others. The desecration of the Sabbath, Sabbath breaking going on and on. We were just talking to a friend on Sabbath about in his own lifetime, he saw how people kept the Sabbath. Shops were even closed on Saturday. They were never open on Sabbath. It was a day that was at least outwardly honoring God by this nation. But today, what do we see? Desolation, desecration continually, God's law being dishonored continually, God himself dishonored by the breaking of his law. False worship is rampant. Publication of evil books and literature continually. These things were not allowed at least decades or centuries ago. But what do we see? A steady decline. And we need to be praying that the tide of iniquity would be turned back. There's a rising tide. There's a river of sin flowing and growing and increasing in its power. But we should pray that God Almighty would turn back the tide. He would prevent the flowing of iniquity. Well, we need to have something of the character and experience of the psalmist. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. And one of the means for this weeping over the sins of others is to observe a day like this, a day of humiliation and prayer. Yes, we should have the disposition to mourn, but it's also our duty to mourn. And we need to think about the reasons As Thomas Manton gives five reasons, I'll just state them. Reasons to mourn, reasons to weep, because of the dishonor done to God, and out of pity to sinners, and faith and foresight of the effects of sin. Looking into the future, we know the judgments that will come upon the world because of sin. If we have faith, we will see that, and we will grieve over people breaking God's law because of what it brings upon them. And if we have any care for the public good, we will surely weep over God's law being broken. We have the examples in Scripture of God's people weeping, grieving over the sins of others. Even Lot, who was far from perfect, he was vexed with the conversation of the wicked. Peter says, "For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Do we vex our souls? Are we broken, grieved, deeply concerned, even hurt? Our hearts are aching when we see sin around us, when we hear God's name being taken in vain and the precious name of Jesus used as a swear word to curse or to interject words of surprise. Oh, how we should grieve. You say, "Well, I find it hard to weep. I find it hard to shed tears." Well, there are some people whose constitution prevents them from shedding many tears, and it's very rare for them to weep or to shed tears. But if we can shed tears over other things, and we get sentimental about other things, and our hearts are broken about other things, if we have any love to God, surely in a measure our hearts will break and we will shed tears at times. Can you not shed one tear over the millions of unborn babies being slaughtered in the womb? How many vile sins are committed that harm society and lead to suicide, but most of all, the dishonor done to God? Do we love God? Do we love souls? Do we see them going down the precipice of eternal ruin? Jesus says, "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." Are we grieved over the hardness of heart of the young ones, the rising generation, not only in our church, but in other churches? The hardness of heart we see all around us in our neighbors, colleagues, people in the media and in the government, hardness of heart. They will never, it seems, weep over themselves, but can we weep over them? They will not shed one tear for themselves, but surely if we are God's people, we will shed a tear or two for them. Should we not weep over our own sins? Yes. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Should we not weep over the sins of others? Yes, we should weep over the sins of others because it dishonors God, whom we love. And weeping over the sins of others is a preservative against sin. That's a motive to weep over the sins of others. Weeping over the sins of others will keep us from sin in ourselves. How can we indulge in the sin that we are grieving over in others? For example, you may be tempted to engage in the same sins you see people doing around you. But if you think to yourself, "I should be grieving over these people breaking God's law," if we can rise to that by God's grace, that will be a deterrent that will keep us from being tempted to the same sins. We should remind ourselves then about that, that when we are tempted to join others in sin, we should do the very opposite of following them in their sin. We should mourn over those people doing such sins. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. And as we already mentioned, Weeping over the sins of others will motivate us to do something about the sins of others. As Thomas Manton puts it, private sorrow will beget public care. Private sorrow will beget public care, care about others, doing with a desire to help them and do something for the public good. If we truly grieve over their sins and it matters to us that they're breaking God's law and we grieve over that, then we'll not just sit back and watch things grow worse. We will do what we can. We will rebuke sin according to our position. We will desire to be salt and light. Our very lives, our godliness will be a rebuke to others and a means of restraint upon others. We're the light of the world, Jesus said. And we are to hold forth the word of life. And that is done best of all by living a godly life according to the word. And if we weep over others, breaking God's commandments, then surely we will be stirred up to pray. We don't pray aright unless we feel what we're praying. We're not praying aright if we're not desiring those things that we pray for. If we have rivers of waters running down our eyes because they keep not thy law, then we will be stirred up to pray for those who are breaking God's law. We will pray that they will be stopped. Yes, that they would be stopped, that God would be honored, that their breaking God's law would come to a halt, it would be stopped, but also that they would be repenting, that they would be converted. We don't pray only, although that's the most important thing, that God's law would no longer be broken. That's first. We're to glorify God and also care for other souls. But God's glory is to be the highest motivation, and right behind it, very close to it, should be the love that we have for their precious, never-dying souls, that they would be prevented from going on harming themselves. They would be prevented from going on their sins crying vengeance upon them, as Abel's blood cried for vengeance. So the sins of the land are calling upon God to rain down judgments upon them. This should matter. This should weigh upon us. We should be grieved every time we see someone going on in sin. It's just drawing wrath upon that person. Surely we will grieve over that. And we will pray for them. And we will pray that God would come and that he would get honor to himself by giving repentance to the nations. And we will give him no rest till he establish and make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth, when he exalts the church, and there will be the prevailing of righteousness throughout society and the world. That both will go hand in hand, Christ building his church and God honored and sinners converted. And one more thing, those who weep over the sins of others, they will receive mercy. Those who mourn over God's law being broken, they will receive mercy. As God told Ezekiel, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. These who sighed and cried, those who grieved over the abominations of the land, a mark was set upon them. They were spared. God had mercy on them. And so let us pray for this experience of grace, that we would grieve over the dishonor done to God and his law by others, that we would know something of this rivers of waters running down our eyes because they keep not thy law. Pray then that God would give us repentance, that we would mourn over our own sins, and that we would truly come to Jesus, come to him, you are encouraged to come to him. What a wonderful encouragement it is. God is saying to us in his word, this man, the man Christ Jesus, receiveth sinners. This man receiveth sinners. And may the Lord bless his word. Let us pray.